In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in
our
midst.
In Jesus' time, and before Jesus' time, leprosy was a huge problem. Leprosy was to have, which was a broad term, which could mean anything from boils to pox to a rash to actual leprosy as we know it, which is essentially your flesh in a way rotting away on your body while you're still alive as a rash. And the Old Testament had prescription for these people. Number one, they were unclean, and so they were, where Jesus meets them today is outside the gate of the town as he's about to go into town. So they weren't allowed to be amongst people. They were socially isolated. They were pushed out. Secondarily, they were obviously in pain. And some commentators even go as far to say that when it says that they shouted with a loud voice, that sometimes leprosy even goes down into the throat, into the vocal cords. And so that it must have been, they postulate that it must have been a raspy shout, a raspy and painful shout. And the prescription for healing was, I spent some time reading it. And when I say I spent some time reading it, that might tell you that it took some time to read the full prescription. Unbelievable amount of things to be declared clean once you had been healed, or once your body had processed, or you possibly were cleansed of leprosy physically, you had to go and present yourself to the priest. Now, as a leper, though, you had to shave your head and tear your clothes, and as anybody walked near you, you would yell out, "Unclean, unclean," as loud as you could. And so you get a picture of just something for us is rather over the top. We don't have villages of people who shave their head and tear their clothes and scream unclean when you walk near them. When we try to cordon people off, we try to do it in some sort of humane way, if you will, if you want to say that, by separating them and in our clinical way that we do things nowadays. But anyways, part of the process was that as if they felt that they had been healed, they would go and present themselves to the priest, and then there was ritual washings, and then there was ritual shavings, and another ritual washing, and a dove, and then a lamb, and then a this, and then a that. It was a lengthy process. In order for this to be recognized that they were finally clean, and only after this lengthy process were they allowed to go and be with other people. So you can imagine, again, the social isolation, the pain, and all of that. So as Jesus comes near this town, he encounters 10 of these such people, and it's not hard to imagine that that the lepers would gather together, because they couldn't have community, an actual community, in the temple or anywhere else. And so as he's coming, they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus tells them simply to go and present themselves to the priest. Now, we don't know why the lepers go and present themselves to the priest, why they go and walk. Now, in other words, in our time, we're more psychological. And so in the biblical time, when you read things, there isn't a lot of psychology presented. There isn't you don't hear their inner thoughts or what they, how they might feel about Jesus isn't laid out in any sort of specific way. All you hear is a very direct that he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest," and that they went and they were going to show themselves to the priest. We don't know why they did it. The fathers will say that one reason is because they had faith. They had heard who Jesus was, and so they were obedient. But if you have leprosy, there is no reason to show yourself to the priest. The priest is going to tell you you're unclean. However, it was in doing this action, it was in being willing to simply go and obey, as Jesus said, and as they walked to the priest, that they were healed. So we don't know why these men did it, but we know that it was in the process of them obeying a very simple command, a command that in context might not make any sense to them outside of the power of Christ and outside of the miraculous healings of Jesus' past. I mean, in other instances, Jesus encounters leprosy and he heals the people. He just heals them. But now he has sent them to go and talk to the priest, and on their way, they are healed. And that's the part I want to focus on today as in this sermon. The lepers went because they were told. We don't know why, and we're not going to psychologize it any further than that. What's interesting for us, though, because we all, to some extent, and leprosy is also a symbol of sin, because leprosy is something that is essentially, we're still human, but we have a mixed nature. Part of us is normal and clean, and then the other part of us is diseased. And so we live in a black and a gray world, a world where people who want to be saints aren't saints. The people who ascribe to be growing towards Christ often are full of sin and are covered in some sort of shame and embarrassment. And of course, I don't think there's any of us in this room who would say that we were sinless and that we didn't have failures, and that our failures aren't just that we fail once in a while, but there's something about us that's disease that we carry around with us that perpetuates itself. Because sin is also, like leprosy, it's very contagious. And you can think of the analogy endlessly, really, because people who have the same disease tend to hang out together, as you know, just like with leper colonies and other things like that. But our Lord, in the Gospels and in church and in very many other ways, communicates us ways to healing and health. Sometimes, in those ways, in and of themselves, don't always make sense. For instance, maybe you've been told in church, if you want to be healed, read the Scriptures, because they will build you up and they will nourish your soul. I know some of you have been told, go to church. You want to be healed, go to church. We've seen miracles in church. That's where healing takes place. Some have been told to fast. Some have said, do some prostrations. And I'm not thinking particularly of penances, because I don't give a lot of penances in particular, so there wouldn't matter. But there's the general prescription, pray in the morning. When you wake up, turn to God. Before you go to sleep, turn to God. These sort of things in our faith are all said and taught here anyways in therapeutic terms. That is part of our healing and integration and growing into Christ is doing small, sometimes very small obediences and doing them. Now, we are psychological beings, though. So one image would look like this. If I was presenting this biblically, I would say that many, just like last week, walk away sorrowful. They simply don't do any of it. They don't want to do it, and they walk away. And but I think it's important to consider the reasons why people don't follow through in their commitment to the faith or in their pursuit of health and healing in Christ. The most prominent reason seems to be that people don't think they're worth it. They don't think that God loves them. They don't think that God values them. And they don't think that the efforts that they're going to put into prayer, into fasting, into reading the Scriptures, are ultimately going to pay off, because why would God bother with me anyways? That's one thing that I hear in our culture very consistently is this form of what I would say self-hatred. Not the healthy self-hatred that the fathers talk about, but an unhealthy self-hatred. See, the healthy self-hatred that the fathers talk about is about asceticism, cutting off our own will, and pursuit of Christ and runs towards Christ. It's actually God-focused. It's not self-focused, that self-hatred, even though it's titled self-hatred. The self-hatred that we have, maybe some of us have, tends to be defeatist. So we give up before we even start. So Jesus walks up and we say, "Jesus, have mercy on me." He says, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And we say, "Oh, nah, forget it. Forget it. It's not going to work anyways. Isn't nothing going to work for me?" If you want to say it that way. And that's a problem. Because if we're defeated before we already start, then it's just an ingrown hair. It emboldens the leprosy. It embraces the sin. And it ultimately says, that we don't have any faith in God, that He can do anything, that He can actually do something for us. And in the Scriptures, what's presented about faith is that faith that Jesus can actually do something. And we read story after story in the Gospel every week. And we have seasons throughout the church which are meant not to condemn us for our lack of faith, but to encourage us. That maybe if Jesus went to this one sinner and today went and healed the nine Jews and the one Samaritan, the outsider, and maybe if Jesus went to the demoniac, and maybe if He went to that, He might actually care about me. And that if He actually cares about me, then I should care about myself. And if there's a little bit of pursuit that I have to do, then I'm worth it. That in the end, I'm actually worth those efforts. Now, there are other reasons why people don't follow. Some are lazy, for instance. But behind the laziness, sometimes is self-hatred. And sometimes the laziness is just, again, laziness. And that's where the faith encourages you to exercise. It was as they walked to the priests that they were healed. It was as they obeyed. As they began to, on their journey, to do something to them that possibly made no sense, it is then that they were healed. And so today I want to encourage you all in this fast, in the season of your particular life, to lay aside your self-hatred, the unhealthy version. Lay aside the self-coddling. You are not that special that God hates you and singles you out to be the worst person on earth and thinks that you're never going to matter or amount to nothing. You're not that person. There isn't any evidence that in the Scriptures or in the faith that that person exists. Because what we're taught is that God died for each one of us and that He pursues us incessantly. And so, all that to say, you're worth whatever effort's required of you. You're worth it. And if you don't have faith, we've been given the prayers of the man who didn't have faith, "Help my unbelief." Because ultimately, being stuck in that sort of realm, which I myself find myself in, and I'm not excluding myself from this equation, that many people find themselves in, being in a place where you're stuck and where you won't turn to God and where you won't seek healing and where you won't look where it's to be found, ultimately, what can be expected of that? It's exactly what the devil would have us do. And that's actually, if we were to talk to the lepers today, that's actually where the devil would fit in. He would be the psychological one. He would be the one and say, "Why bother? Why walk to the priest? Look at you, you're full of leprosy. What are they going to tell you? They're not going to accept you." Those are the voices of our own psychology, of our own brokenness. But it is God who always meets us halfway, who runs out to meet us like the prodigal son and the father. So let's take courage with the healing of the lepers today. And if we have been given little things to do, that we have been promised healing, let us in good faith know that Jesus Christ can heal us and in His timing will heal us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.